Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. My name is Dan, and today I'm here to talk about Storyteller. First up, we've got a description of the game, which is, Storyteller is an award-winning puzzle game about building stories. Start with a title, settings, and character, and create a story that fits the story's description. Play with stories of love, intrigue, crime, monsters, betrayal, and more. All right. And then some production info on the game. It was developed by Daniel Ben-Mergui, who made a couple games. Today I Die, I Wish I Were the Moon, and Fidel Dungeon Rescue. And also, other background on Storyteller itself, it was actually initially developed in 2008 as, I think, maybe like a mini game or a demo of sorts. And that's where it actually had won some awards back then. And then Daniel had worked on, I think, other things and Storyteller along the way before it ultimately releasing, I think, in this past year. I think it came out this year in 2023. So, got to build on that for a while and become the game it is now. So that's pretty cool. Okay, so first up, want to hit up a couple non-spoiler thoughts. Just about the game at large and maybe some initial things I thought about it without spoiling specific things. First one is just kind of about the game itself, which is it's a fun story slash puzzle game. I know that's what the description was up top, and that's pretty accurate. I would say what's unique about this game or different in its puzzle elements is the puzzle is the story itself. So it would be like almost like a word game, in a sense. In this case, there are pictures that will tell the story, and they'll, like, show what happens. But essentially, you're putting, you know, if you've got various options, and then you put them in the story's pattern for what they're asking you for. So, it's pretty interesting. I think the game that I've played that's maybe most similar to this is called Letters, A Written Adventure. And not in the puzzle mechanics, how the puzzles work is definitely different, but Letters also uses the story and kind of puzzles in conjunction with each other. So as opposed to, maybe a puzzle game like Monument Valley, where the puzzles, you know, you learn the story through doing the puzzles, and they're, you know, more traditional puzzles or movement puzzles. Instead here, it is word puzzles almost, or puzzling the story. So that's kind of a broad idea of what the game is. And I think for that, the description and what I just said there, I think if that sounds like it's a game, a kind of game you'd like, you're gonna like this. And if it doesn't sound like your kind of thing, then it probably won't be. I would say what it is pretty apparent and consistent throughout. All right. Other things I wanted to talk about in this section is I played it on my phone via Netflix, and so I wanted to talk about that because I don't think I've had a chance to talk about Netflix gaming maybe more extensively, so I just wanted to share some thoughts. Some of it, of course, relates to Storyteller because that's what I played, but some of it's maybe more general about games and Netflix. So I think pros, a big one is Netflix gaming. I think a big pro is this gives access to people who are new to video games or maybe even non-video game players. If you're someone who doesn't play games, but you know you have Netflix and you see that you can play games on your phone, boom, that might get you into playing games that you wouldn't have. I think that's really cool. And I think with being the case, if it's a game that is available on Netflix that you can play on your phone, that, you know, your actual gameplay stuff that someone new to gaming might have trouble with, it's instead going to be super accessible. You're going to play on your phone, and it's going to be touchscreen, and so you're going to be able to be moving and enjoy the games and the stories that are available on there. So I think that's really cool. I think that worked totally great for Storyteller. It felt super natural to, click the different scenes in the puzzles here and move them to spots and be like, I want this here and I want that there. Super intuitive, easy to do. I think that anyone probably I know almost who doesn't play video games, if they pick it up Storyteller on Netflix, they'd be able to figure it out and enjoy it. So I think that's really cool. Huge for accessibility, for people. I think that's great. I really like that. I think also on the pro side, I would say that this is nice as like an added value to your Netflix account. You know, paying for Netflix, they've done a lot of bad things, I would say, in terms of just continually raising the prices and different things like that that aren't great. And are probably losing lots of people using Netflix for that. But I think that this at least is something different that you won't get from some of those other streaming services. They don't have, and there's some free games that come with it. Netflix, on the other hand, does. That's cool. I think on the other end of that, though, this is not something I would pay for at all. If Netflix said, like, hey, for $1 a month, you can have Netflix gaming, I would say, no, I don't want it. I pay for video games somewhere else. So yeah, I think it's a good added benefit. I don't think that it's something that would get me to sign up for Netflix, or you know, if Netflix asked me for more money for it, I wouldn't pay it. But I did like that. And specifically with Storyteller, this was a game I wanted to play anyway, and when I saw it was on Netflix, I said, oh, this is perfect. I can pick it up here. So those are some pros about that. A con I do have regarding Netflix's gaming is it doesn't work without the internet. I discovered this because I played this game while I was on vacation, and at first I was hoping to play it on my phone on the plane. And so ahead of time, you know, I downloaded Netflix's app. When you go and get games on Netflix, what you'll do is you'll go from their app and you'll click the game you want, and then it will take you to a download on the Google Store. You download that onto your phone, and then you're good to go. However, in the case of these, you need to essentially establish your Netflix connection before you can play the game. And while you're on a phone and you don't have internet access, I could not get on. So that was a bit of a bummer. I'm sure it's so that people don't download games, cancel Netflix, and then play the games later. Like, that makes sense as a thing, but playability-wise, I don't know, even if there was like a 24-hour timer, like, if you checked into Netflix 24 hours ago with this game, you can play it over the next 24 hours. But if you leave, then you're out. You know, something like that I think would have been helpful. I think just on playing video games and traveling, in my experience with traveling, the seats I'm in are never big enough where I'd feel great about holding my Switch there and playing Switch. It's more narrow, and so the phone I would say is actually ideal for this. And so not getting to use this feature in kind of its best situation, I'd say, is a bit of a bummer. That's something I would totally change if I was Netflix, if you could somehow. Because I think gaming on your phone on an airplane, perfect. I think that's the setup you want. I guess people who have iPads are probably better off, but for some reason the Switch hasn't felt quite right to me. So when I brought it on vacations, I've just played it when I'm at my hotel or whatever, not on the plane. So there's that. Lastly, games that are available on Netflix right now, there are quite a few that I'm interested in or have played before and like. Before Your Eyes is on there, Spiritfarer, Oxenfree, Oxenfree 2, Kentucky Route Zero, Into the Breach, 12 Minutes, Valiant Hearts, Coming Home. I mean, that's quite a lot of games that either I've played and would say are good, or are ones that I'm interested in and will play. So yeah, I think that there's something promising within this. Thankful, or I guess happy that I'm paying for Netflix anyway right now, so I was glad I had the opportunity to play Storyteller, a game I wanted to play anyway because I had Netflix. So yeah, that's kind of the end of my non-spoiler thoughts. We will head into the spoiler-filled area, talking through the game itself and kind of how it works. So, I guess first want to set the scene for how the game works. So, what they set up is that each chapter has about four stories that are a part of it. And then inside of each chapter, each story is set up where it can have up to six panes available for you to build your puzzle. Typically, you have a couple people involved for your puzzle, and maybe a couple different elements, like love or death or things like that. And so this is kind of your setup for what the game looks like. So, for instance, this is what the first puzzle was in the first chapter. It's called Eve Dies Heartbroken. And the elements you have are love, death, Adam, and Eve. And so, what you can do, how you'd make this work, is you would have a scene that has love, Adam, and Eve. Oh my gosh, they're married. Great. Then you'd have another scene where it's Eve at Adam's funeral, and so Adam's dead, and Eve is then heartbroken. Then you have Eve die. That solves your puzzle. That's how this game works. Straight up. That's what this game looks like. That's what every chapter kind of goes through, and you just have different elements that get introduced, and your puzzles get more kind of complicated or different factors or things like that. So that's how this game works. What I'm gonna do is talk very broadly about these. Going through puzzle by puzzle like that obviously wouldn't be fun. But instead, kind of want to go with some broad strokes of kind of how this works. So, first section of the game, I would say, is chapters 1 through 4, which are basically like an introduction to the game. It kind of shows you some characters, shows you some elements, and kind of eases you into, hey, this is what this game is and how it works. So, the first chapter deals with life and death, and these are all Adam and Eve related puzzles. Those are your characters in this, and you deal with puzzles there. So, that's our first one. Our next one, in chapter 2, is about broken hearts. You've got Edgar, Lenora, Bernard, and Isabel in these. And so you can do a variety of puzzles based on these, where there's stories that you'll tell with the varying characters. So it might be like this person gets poisoned, and so you make a story that would show why that person would be poisoned and who would poison them. A highlight from this one that I thought was funny was called Everyone Rejects Edgar. And so it's Edgar trying to date each person, and they all say no. And so Edgar's sad. I thought that one was funny. The next chapter is called Apparitions. You've got Edgar, Lenora, and Isabel a part of this. So that one, I think, involves ghost as part of it. So you can have someone like revive or their ghost come back. And then last one in the introductions is called The Cellar. This one has Edgar, Lenora, and Isabel also. And this one, there's mostly like poison related puzzles. So maybe someone like cheats on someone, or someone kills someone's spouse, so then the spouse comes back to get them, that kind of thing. So this is kind of your basis, your start off of the game. This is what it is. Here's how it works. Next up, the next kind of group of chapters, you get more characters added into it. So, you've got one called Beauty, where you deal with a witch, Snowy, Prince, and a dwarf named Tiny. And so you have different puzzles that involve them, often the witch cursing someone, or a couple different people get turned into frogs, stuff like that. You have another one called The Manor, which has the butler, the duke, the duchess, and the detective. Here, there's sort of mystery around the butler shooting different people and the detective trying to figure out who's the shooter. Next, here, there's one chapter 7 called Crown Intrigue. This one has a knight, a baron, and the queen. This one was fun. And then number 8, it's called Secrets, has the butler, the duke, the duchess, and the detective. And then last one, chapter 9, is called Justice, has the knight, the baron, and the queen. I like these new characters getting added in at this section. I thought particularly the sections related to the kingdom. So with the king and the queen, or the queen, the knight, and the baron, I thought those were fun, kind of showing different people trying to rise to power and telling the stories to get there. And then I also thought that the ones with the duke, duchess, detective, butler, those were fun, kind of bringing that mystery element of like, okay, how do you create this investigation for them, and put these puzzles together. Next up, kind of the last section of the game, I would say, takes you through either adding new elements to stories or adding in maybe things that are familiar, like familiar stories of sorts. So chapter 10, you get Genesis, so you've got Adam and Eve, and then also there's one that has a character named Friedrich that shows up who shoots God. That one is pretty funny. Then you've got a chapter where the king gets introduced, so you've got the king, the queen, the knight, the baron, and the maid in these. I thought this one was really cool because you could kind of see who would become king or ruler of the kingdom kind of throughout them and different ways to cause strife among their kingdom. I like that one a lot. Next up, you've got a chapter called Monsters. Bernard, Isabel, the Baron, the detective, the Queen, Dracula, Mina, and John are all part of this. This was cool. You got new characters added from before that you hadn't seen yet, and got to put them in kind of fun situations with having... there was a story about a werewolf. We've got a story about... You've got stories, though, about a werewolf, about a vampire, a kind of a play on Pet Cemetery. You've got a pretend dragon. These were pretty fun. I like the kind of new elements they kind of threw in there on taking something familiar and doing it a new way. The next chapter follows suit. It's called Drama. And you've got Peachy, Haiti, Tiny, and Greeny, who are all dwarves, and then also Froggy, who's a frog. And these do takes on, like, old myths. So there's one called Narcissus, Oedipus, Hamlet, just taking things that are familiar and bringing them into a new way. I thought that was super fun. And then lastly, the final chapter is called Novels. And in this one, you've got Edgar, Lenora, Isabel, the Duke, the Duchess, the Detective, King, Witch, Prince, Snowy, Knight, Maid, and Queen, all part of them. So lots of different people showing up in these ones. The novels were not stories on the face that I was familiar with. Maybe they would be familiar if I looked a little harder, but they weren't at first, at least. They didn't stand out like some of the others. These were also fun. I liked in these later chapters where, you know, a lot of them had groupings where it was like, you know, knight, baron, queen being together. But it was fun having stories where you'd start to bring in, you know, the detective into a story with the queen or, you know, different people like that. I thought that was cool. Because even though the characters were essentially like little drawings and there wasn't voice acting for them, they did have sort of distinct personalities. You'd see like, oh, this one is one who's prone to act this way or prone to act that way. And so it was fun to have them start to converge in stories later down the line. I thought that was cool. Finally, at the end of the game, once you 100% all of the puzzles, there's a section called the Devil Chapters. And what this does is it allows you to return to old chapters as the devil and ruin them. The stories in them. So there was one chapter that I played that was called Everyone Sad. Everyone Dies Sad. And so you have to make everyone sad as the devil, and then when they die, you win. That's more or less how that works. So finally, from here, we can move into some general thoughts. I really only have one main one, which is I wish there was more variety to how this game was played. Typically, these puzzles only had one correct answer, and I think it would have been fun to be able to create your own stories rather than kind of tell the story that they wanted you to tell. Like, a lot of the times, it was like, I'm trying to think of a good one. There was a story called Tiny Gets a Kiss, and so you basically... trick someone into thinking Tiny is someone else, and so they give Tiny a kiss who's a frog, but they really think someone else is a frog. You know, something like that. And there's really only one way that can go. I wish that there would have been something like that. I think I would have liked to have gotten to be a little bit more of a story creator, almost. Which maybe is not what this game was, and also maybe this is not a reasonable desire. I've never made a game, so I have no idea. But I do feel like that would have been kind of fun to try to build stories out of the elements they gave. I think that would be cool. Like if there was like a free level builder, a level builder or something, and you could take the elements to tell stories. I think that would have been pretty cool. As a piece. Overall, I did like this game though. I thought it was fun. I think it very much is kind of what it set out to be, which is this little enjoyable puzzle game that takes us through this stuff. So, I would say that's a bit about our game. We've got one piece of listener feedback from Nikki on Twitter who says, "Such a neat and cute little puzzle game, cute graphics, the music is nice too. It really is Annapurna, only bangers interactive, huh? The secret devil puzzles are hard, or I'm just stupid. Like the later levels were tricky, but some of the stuff was just oof, how the fuck? But probably the fuck around and find out." Still, lots of fun to get that gray matter working. I would agree with Nikki. I only did a little bit of the devil puzzles, and they were definitely hard. And as the game got farther, there were some puzzles that were hard that I didn't understand how they got there, and like looked up, okay, what's the answer? I'm stuck. I didn't do that a ton, but I did do it some near the end. And I think Nikki's sentiment, are the puzzles harder or am I dumb? is a fair question. I'm not sure either for myself. I was like, I don't know. If it was a user problem, being myself. So, but I do think she pointed out a couple good things here. I think it is a nice, cute little puzzle game. I like how it looks, kind of the storybook feel. It's fun as you play. It's a book. Like as you move through each chapter, it's an actual book moving. There's a narrator who's the storyteller. When you finish the game, he calls you the ultimate storyteller. You know, it's fun. I really like kind of the theme of it, the feel of it, all of that stuff. So I think that this is a cool little package for sure. Last thing I wanted to talk about here was Nikki had mentioned Annapurna Interactive having bangers only. And I agree. This has been my experience so far. And so I wanted to kind of go back and think about my experiences with Annapurna games real quick. So far on the podcast, we've covered What Remains of Edith Finch, Florence, Donut County, Gone Home, Journey, Kentucky Route Zero, The Unfinished Swan, and The Pathless. Some of these were games that were just published by Annapurna or brought to maybe a new system. Like I know that Journey was out on PlayStation and was owned by PlayStation, but then Annapurna, I think, got it to PC. So I know some are that way, versus others are just Annapurna all the way. When it got published, Annapurna's been the only one been a part of it. So I know some of those are a little different than others, but looking at that list of games that I've played so far, it's definitely living up to the Annapurna bangers only, for sure. Their games have been great. I've really enjoyed each of these in their own ways, and some of them being among my favorite games or favorite indie games. They're really cool. I think that Annapurna has done a great job, and I think that Storyteller getting added to this group, I think again, another quality entry from them. I think Annapurna very much is a studio where if they or a developer or a publisher, I guess, that if they publish a game, then it has a good chance of being good and probably being something I like. Seeing as I don't know, eight or so of their games have been ones I've played and I've enjoyed, it's probably fair to guess that anyone else, any others that I play, I will also enjoy. So I don't know. I thought that was cool just to kind of think about kind of the great stuff that they've supported and good indie developers that they've helped get out there. Last, I wanted to talk about a couple Annapurna games that are kind of on my horizon that I've been looking at that I think would be ones I'd like to play and would love to cover on the show. Kind of my top four that I'm most interested in are Neon White, which is from the guy that made Donut County, Stray, about the cat, 12 Minutes, has Willem Dafoe and Daisy Ridley and someone else, James McAvoy, I think, as your lead characters. So that's pretty intriguing. And then Outer Wilds, which I've heard nothing but good things about. I'd say these are the four I'm most interested in so far. But I think, again, probably anything that got published by Annapurna would be something that would be good and something that I would like. So those are a couple ones I'm interested in. I would love to hear from you. What are you interested in? What Annapurna game do you think I should play next? Am I missing one? Or is one of these four a good next step? Love to hear your thoughts. And yeah, I think that about covers our episode. So if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can on Twitter at StoryEverPod. Our email is thegreateststoryeverplayed@gmail.com. Yeah, thank you so much for the support. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go share it with a friend or leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Any of those can just help get more people talking about games, and so we can all enjoy them together. I think that's one of the best parts of doing this show is getting to share games with folks. So yeah, that is our episode, and we will see you next time.